It is so good to be in the house of the God today and to be in His presence. And I look forward to God blessing us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to be reading this morning the 6th and 7th verse of Hebrews, chapter 11. Believing God to touch and minister to us, I am mindful of the time. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your grace and for your love. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house with the power of your love. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you just give the Lord another hand clap of praise? We also want to recognize Rodney Prince's birthday is today. But more importantly than that, he has survived 24 years being married to Dee. Glory. Glory. Man doesn't look like he's 80, does he? Glory. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We also want to welcome a visitor from Nevada who is with us. Sister Christie's dad's with us today. We appreciate him flying in to be with us. I can't wait to tell people, man, I had a guy fly away from Nevada to hear me preach. Hey, it's all the way you tell stuff. Glory. Amen. We got one from Kansas. Huh? Italy. Oh, we got one. I'm sorry. You lost out. I got somebody flew in from Italy to hear me preach. Now, she actually, this is her church. Glory. She just long distance member. Amen. I just can't wait till she says she needs me to come make a visit. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm going to entitle the message simply, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. The message today is a salvation message, not personally, but for the family. How many of you guys really want to see your family get saved? Really want to see them in house, living for God, doing things for God? Then I think we can study people like Noah and understand that Noah, the Bible said, built an ark to the saving of his entire household. Amen. First of all, I want to talk to you about the danger. Then I want to talk to you about the dad. Then I want to talk to you about the deliverance. Amen. First of all, we've got the danger in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man, as it was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thought of the heart, was on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth. The 17th verse, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy the flesh, wherein is the breath of life, that under heaven and everything that is of the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into an ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Amen. All of a sudden, God comes out and says, I messed up. I created man thinking man would love me because I created him, and man has continually gone away from me. And the Bible said he repented that he even made man. I want to be honest with you, church. You got to be pretty bad off when you get to the point that God repents. But can I tell you, if that world upset God, this one has forevermore and while made him sick. Amen. Notice what it said in Noah's day, that they were men of renown, but they weren't known because they were good men. They were known because they were bad. Do you know we live in a world today where it seems like the people that are doing bad are the ones getting all the public billing? Amen. You ever seen anybody get billed because they've done something good? Most of the time, they have to do something bad, get their face plastered all over TV. I mean, you know, you got a guy kills three people, and then he says the guy was hitting him with a bottle. That's the reason why he killed those three and shot six more. And we're supposed to feel sorry for him. Church, I'm sorry. I want him to get saved. But at the same time, if a guy hits you with a bottle, that don't mean you pull a gun and blow him away. But yet they got him all over TV. I mean, everybody's been talking about him for the last week. I wonder how many people in that same town done something good that week, and not one camera showed up to put it on TV. Not one person talked about it. And when we watch our televisions now, all we're being talked about is all the bad that's on in this world, all the things that are wrong with this world. And can I tell you, men don't get lifted up for being good, and we're in the exact place they were in the days of Noah when God said, I repent. Repented, I made man. He has taken everything I gave him, turned it upside down, turned it inside out, forgot everything that was going on. And can I tell you, we're in that world today. Amen. Noah was told there's a flood coming. It's a bad flood. It's going to mess up the world. People are going to die. Amen. We all know the dangers of a flood. Amen. Any of y'all been in a flood? Why, every one of you in this church has been here since 2010 has been in a flood. The church was flooded. Glory. Thank God for it. Amen. I'm almost out there every day praying, send another one. We remodel again or get out of here. Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. Amen. I'm not really praying for a flood, but I'm not going to stand out there and hold the water back if it happens. Glory. The one thing I know about floods is floodwaters can't be controlled. They're very devastating. Everything gets wiped out when they come through. Man, I've watched films where houses be sitting in the water go by, and after a while you see that house begin to move. Next thing you know, it falls apart and goes down the river with the river because that flood is mighty. I don't know if you've ever been in flood waters, but I made the mistake of doing a baptism in one time. I will never do it again. Amen. But I had a guy that said, I got to be baptized in running water. I was younger and dumber. So I thought he had to go down there and we had to make him happy. Nowadays, you tell me that, I'm going to turn a hose pipe on, hold it over your head, it's running water. I was in a place called Dadeville, right outside of Enterprise. This guy, 6'8", his name's Irvy Gandy, pastors the black church in Troy, Alabama now, but he was a physician's assistant in the military at the time. He'd gotten saved, wanted to be baptized, and he just adamant he was not getting baptized in that lady's swimming pool. He had to be baptized in running water. So the preacher looked at me. I said, I'm game if you are. The river was actually out of its banks by about 4 or 5 feet. We were on the bank in water this deep, and we were pushing against the water to keep from getting washed away. And Irvy walks out, turns around, and I looked at him. I said, do you believe the Bible's true? He said, yes. I said, it says there's a time for everything. Time to live, time to die. He said, yeah. I said, there's a time to shout and a time not to shout. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying while we're baptizing you, you better quench the spirit. I might as well set it to that wall. Because when I got to the water, he wasn't nowhere near it. He's 6'8". So when I got here, he's still hanging out. And I looked over at the preacher. I said, hold on, I'm going with him. I took him under. As soon as I cleared the top of the water with his head, I heard him. Big hand hit me in the side of my face. My hand come out of the preacher's hand, and I come up. And when I came up, I was no longer on the bank. I'm now in the river. I swam with everything I had upstream, and the harder I swam upstream, the faster I went downstream. Along with the logs and everything else that was in that river, I was moving. And all I could think about is, the last time I was down there, the pastor and I from Enterprise had rode by and looked at the waterfall that's a few hundred yards down that creek from where I was, or that river. And all I could think is, I don't know if it's deep enough to have covered up the waterfall or not. I turned and started swimming with the water and angled to the bank. I grabbed a tree and pulled myself out. I got out, and they come running down. I said, where's Irvy? I said, last time I saw him, he passed me. He went over the waterfall. He comes walking back up the creek. Shall we gather at the river? To this day, when I hear that song, I lose it. And it ain't shouting. I just get tickled. Amen. But church, floods are something we can't control. They tear up everything. They wash away homes. They destroy everything. God was trying to tell them, I'm going to make everything go away. I'm going to take the steel and I'm going to tear it apart. I'm going to tear it up. The flood's here. Amen. It's still coming. For the last 2,000 years, this earth has been flooded with evil because Satan's decided, I'm going to create the perfect storm. I'm going to make a flood that's going to wipe out humanity. And because of that, we've continually seen a drop in the number of people serving God and the number of people following after the devil. We see the continuous move of God's people to forget the word of God and try to change what it says. I was told last week, you cannot preach the word of God like it's written. You got to change it to fit today's society. I looked at them, I said, why would you have to change something that's been the same thing for 2,000 years just for the fun of it? Glory. He said, well, you've got to make today's society happy. I said, no, I want to make God happy. I could care less about today's society. Glory. In April of last year, we saw the storms of 2011. We saw the storms come through. They've been billed as probably the storms of the millennium. That means they only come once every 1,000 years. Hope so. I don't want to see another day like that anytime soon. But the truth of the matter is, if we all the preparedness we had for our normal storms wasn't enough, we did everything we normally would have done, and still people died. Stuff was tore up because there was no way to stop the storm. Can I tell you, in the day in which we're living, amen, it's not enough to have a spiritual dike. It's just going to stop a little flow because there's coming a perfect storm of evil that is doing its best to take everybody into the pits of hell. And no matter how bad you prepare, unless you're born again, unless you're washed in the blood, unless you're communicating with God, unless God is number one in your life, you are not going to make it in the world in which we're living right now. Could you say amen? Amen. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Micah stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. What did he say? He said, don't have trouble. Well, preacher, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm not Old Testament. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, incontinent, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hello? What are you talking about? This know also, these are the last days. That's just the New Testament rendering of what Daniel was seeing. It was a day when people forgot who God was, when it became all about us and all about our troubles and all about our problems. And we're being fed by preachers that said, it's all about you. No, it's not. It's all about him. And until we refocus everything back where it belongs, we're never going to understand what it's like. God has never told me to pray for millions. It said, seek me and touch me. And when I get in your life, I'll take care of everything else you need. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Thank God the verse speaks to the deliverance in the midst of all that trouble. The flood we're facing will test our morals, your stamina, your faith. It's whether or not you've got enough built up to make it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that spreadeth better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speak, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh in heaven, whose voice that shook the earth. But now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And the word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken and of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable in reverence and in good fear, that our God is a consuming fire. My God's got love. He is. But he's also a consuming fire when you get outside that love. Come on, church. My God doesn't do evil, but yet reads your Bible. He's killed people in the past because they broke his law and they went against him and they messed up his judgments. And you know, I had a sermon years ago. I don't know if I could ever find it again, but I had a tape by A.A. Allen. He preached in one of his tents called The God, the Killer. And he went through scripture, showed every place where God killed people because they weren't living right. And yet we got people saying, oh, God doesn't do that kind of stuff. You better read your Bible. There's coming a time when those that aren't born again and aren't ready are going to spend eternity without God, and the God you call to be a loving God. Come on, church. Listen, there's not a doubt in my mind my dad loved me. But when I broke his rules, it wasn't love I felt. Hello? And my dad always told us, you go down to the tack room. One of my brothers asked him one day, said, why do we have to sit there so long? He said, I got to wait till I'm not mad. Like that razor strap wasn't going to hurt when he wasn't mad. I don't know what it'd have felt like when he was mad, but he swung from back here when he was happy. Lord. Oh, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. God is going to bring his judgment on this earth. Listen, the dad, that's the danger that was coming. But listen, there's the dad. Dad, you're standing between them and the flood. At least you're supposed to be. You know how terrible it'd be if your house was being flooded and you got out and your family was still inside? Have you ever thought about that? Because if you're living right and your kids ain't where they need to be with God, then you're just like somebody got out of the house and all you was worried about was getting your own skin out. And you all excited because you're alive, but your family's still in there drowning because you are the one, Dad, that's supposed to be taking care of it. Come on, church. I know we've let the woman take over, but that ain't the way it's supposed to be. The man is to be the head of the household. That's what the scripture says. That means he's to be the spiritual leader. That means he should be setting the course of spirituality in the family. And if, Dad, you're not doing that, then you need to understand you may be what's causing the flood. Your job is to go back to the house to save the family. Amen. Hello? It's sad to say that in the midst of a deadly flood, some dads are turning on the spigots. Hydrants, as some of you would call them. I'm sorry, I'm country boy. Glory. I see some of you look, spigot. What's a spigot? In Buell, that's that thing sticks outside the house, you put a hose on. Hello? But your house is flooding and you're turning up the water. Because of the way you're living in front of your family. What they see you do at home. And how things you're doing with your life. And then you tell them, don't do like I do like I say do. That's the dumbest thing you can ever say because they're going to mimic you in every way. Hello? Sometimes they do more than mimic. They take it farther than what you ever thought about taking it. Because they realize if you can do that, I'm the next generation. I can go further. Hello? Noah protected his family by faith. Noah protected his family by spiritual hearing. Noah protected his family with fear. Noah protected his family with a preparation of an ark. Number one, Noah protected his family with faith. You can protect your family in a lot of different ways, but the greatest way you can protect your family is by faith. Listen, the Bible said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Faith saves. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 said, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And notice there's a tag on that we seem to forget. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm a firm believer that if the leaders of the house sell out to God, the rest of the family will follow. Hello? But if the leader of the family plays with God, the rest of the house will follow. If you can find every excuse not to go to church, don't expect your kids to find excuses to go. If you can find reasons to get on the internet and put junk on there you don't need to be putting on there, realize the next generation is going to follow you and they're going to think it's okay. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, it ain't none of your business. Somebody made a statement today they didn't really think about. They were joking with me. They said, you're all of our father. Technically, I am, because I am the spiritual leader of this church. And I'm telling you, dads, that if you give your heart to God, you can see your house won to the Lord. But if you keep playing with God, then you're going to have to try to figure out why you're visiting those kids in a jail cell or buried them way before they're supposed to be buried because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. But if you'll sell out to God, I got a God who through your faith will reach your family and bring them in and give them their way in God. Could you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Notice it said the house in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, it talked about Lydia and said her whole house got saved when she prayed through because she was a spiritual leader of that house. Faith watches over us. Faith protects. Faith delivers. Faith preserves. Noah protected his family with faith. We've heard it all about praying mamas. How mamas prayed, and we hear that song, Mama prayed for me, and Grandma prayed for me. Wouldn't it be great if somebody could start talking about my dad prayed for me? I remember hearing my dad pray. Let me tell you something, the church, that used to be an echo in the voice of the church world. They could hear their dads praying. I remember when Frieda and I were dating, her dad would be in the living room praying at night, and you could hear him echoing through the house. God touch my family. God be with my family. I want to tell you something, friend. It's time dads realize it is not mama's obligation to pray for the family and go to church. It is your obligation as a dad to get a hold of God and get God in your life and realize that through your faith you can move your whole house. I thought it was interesting last night, and Brother Freddie was speaking to us. He told us something. And you realize, ladies, I know y'all upset and y'all get mad. Well, that man makes more money than I do, and I'm doing the same job. Do you know why men started making more money? So women could stay home. Well, your wife don't stay home. That's because I don't make more money than her. Seriously, women went to work and the men stayed home and kept the farm. And the Industrial Revolution started, that's how it happened. If they didn't make enough money, they sent the kids in. Finally, the men realized, I can go to work, I can do the farm at night and on the weekends. My wife still can't take care of the kids. So the guys come up with the idea, we'll pay you more money so your wife can stay home and take care of the family. And it worked until the turn of the century. And then women went back into the workforce full blown. Hello? And now they're fussing because they don't understand why men were getting paid more than women. It was so women wouldn't have to work. Now, church, I know we're living in a day where some of us sitting here takes every dime we make just to make it. No problem with that. But that doesn't change the fact that the man is still the head of the household spiritually. And ladies, get mad at me if you want to, but that's in this book. It says so in the book. And if you're trying to rule your husband spiritually, you are spiritually wrong. And it's time for you to submit to your husband and say, you need to take it. I'm not going to pray for the family anymore till you pray for the family. Come on, church. Somebody said, well, if he ain't going to, I got to. Maybe you ought to spend more time praying for him. I'm about to lose all the women in this place. They're getting mad. I can see now there's going to be a revolt. Had a lady at the Perdita Church of God, prayed for a husband for 20-something years, never would come to church. And she came up to me and she said, everything I do, I can't get him to come to church. He gets so mad at me, he don't even want me to come to church because I can't cook supper for him. I said, why can't you cook supper for him? Well, I'm going to church. I said, what you been doing all day long? She didn't work. Well, I've been doing other things. I said, can't you cook supper and have it ready for him going to church? She said, what are you talking about? I said, he's mad at the church because the church is involving you more than him. She looked at me and she said, what are you talking about? I said, if Eve pulled Adam away with what we call women's intuition or female beguiling, you ought to be able to get your husband to God if you'd start acting like a wife instead of being married to the church. Get married to your husband again. Well, what about the church? I said, the church will still fit in, but don't make the church more important to him than him. And just make God more important. Cook his supper and leave it for him. Say, honey, I got you separated, but I'm going to church. I see something right now. I ain't going to do that, preacher. Your husband may never get saved either. See, I had the privilege at the end of that two-week revival of baptizing her husband in water. And the last time I saw him, he was a Sunday school superintendent of that church and was working in that church, because before those 2 weeks was out, he was coming to revival with her because she changed the way she treated him and started treating him like the man he was supposed to be in the house and treating him with the love she once had for him. Come on, church, smile at me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? There's got to be a dad at the head of the house, and if he is, he can lead his family in faith. But let me tell you something you need to understand. You've got to also lead them in the time of God putting to you. Noah saved his family by more than just his faith. His faith was about something else. Listen, put yourself in his shoes. And I'm going to hurry. What he was working on pertained to something in the distant future. Do y'all realize that while he was working on that ark, the equivalent of four generations of our world would have already come into this world? Hello? Four generations, 120 some years, he works on an ark. And the whole time he's saying, flood's coming. If I need to get ready. There was no outward evidence that Noah could ever point to say, it's going to happen. It had never rained before, much less flooded the earth. Water came up from the ground, watered everything. And Noah's talking about stuff happening that ain't never happened. Notice this. The course of things was against the truth of what Noah believed. He's sitting there telling everybody, God loves, but he's going to wipe everybody out. That's a weird two-pronged story, but it's true. Notice this. It was not improbable that when Noah proclaimed the approaching destruction of the world in a deluge, it's very possible such an event was strongly denied by the philosophers, the historians, and the scientists of his day. Can you imagine what kind of fool he looked like when they'd have debates and the philosopher would get up and go, well, God's a God of love, and a God of love would never kill anybody. And since God is love, this can't be possible. Those of you who's never studied philosophy, I took some in college, and one thing I learned about philosophy is you say a whole bunch of stuff without saying anything. Glory. I can see a scientist get up and say, well, now, you know, I've been studying science all my life. I've read every science book there is. And from everything I've ever studied, ain't no water ever fell out of the sky. This guy is messed up. Because if it hasn't never happened, and my historical friends will agree. And the historian stands up and said, you're right. History repeats itself. If it hadn't happened, it ain't gonna happen. That's what historians teach us. Everything's a cycle. You know, in 1955, something happened, ain't never happened before, and the whole world's praying it don't ever happen again. I was born. I've never been in this world before. I do not believe in reincarnation. And I'll be honest with you, if I had been here before, I would not have come back. Hello? One time through is all I need. So here's Noah preaching about a flood, building a boat in the middle of a desert, and everybody thinking Noah is crazy. But his faith pushed him through. His faith made him keep going on. Hello? Noah protected his family by spiritual hearing. And I'm almost through. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen, Noah had an ear for God. He heard from God. Somebody told me, said, God doesn't speak to me anymore. Could it be you closed his mouth when you quit reading the book? Huh? Dad, when's the last time you just picked up a Bible and read it just to be reading it? You wasn't trying to argue a point with somebody. You wasn't looking for something in specific. You just picked up the Bible and started reading just to see what it had to say and listen to it. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You don't know where our faith is gone? It's gone the same way as the book. Well, preacher, I don't need the book. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the way of the sinner. You know what that tells me? If somebody's not doing what he just said do, they are going to talk to the people that are all time griping. And they're going to be one of them griping all the time. They're going to be the people sitting around and scornful and just running their mouth and tearing everybody down. And then you're going to hear somebody else over there just committing sin, saying it's okay, nothing wrong with it. You know why? Because they don't have the word of God. But if you're going to walk in the way of God, your delight's going to be in that law, and in that law will you meditate day and night. And then you're going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, bringing forth fruit in its due season. Your family is your harvest, and it's time some of us woke up and realized it is not their obligation. It is my obligation to get a hold of God and get God where he belongs in my life and turn God loose in my family. Woo. There was an old song that used to be out called "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children dies and gray days grew cold. A piece of bread would buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. A man, his wife, asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears, and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come. You've been left behind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died. The sun has come. Then you've been left behind. Noah prepared an ark. In preparing the ark, he saved his family. Better yet, he didn't follow his plan. He followed God's plan. The answer to your family is not what you think. It's what God thinks. It's what God's plan is for you. The Bible tells me Noah saved his family because he worked his faith. He believed in God. He was ready. When the voice of the Lord spoke to Noah, said, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark," he didn't have to round everybody up. He didn't have to beg his kids to try to prove to them, because for all that time, Noah had been living in front of his boys and telling them this is it. And his faith was so intriguing to them that they began to believe what their dad believed. And when he said, "It's time to get on the boat," they didn't look at him and say, "Dad, you know, we're going to look pretty stupid if this don't come off." They got on the boat. They didn't ask questions. And because they followed their dad, they lived. They carried on humanity. Life went on. Can I tell you, dads, your kids are looking at you. And how you live is going to determine how they're going to live. No matter how hard we try, we are products of our environment. My dad used to whip me, and I used to like that. And one day I was whipping Alex or Alicia one, and I realized, I'm my dad, and I'm enjoying this. Glory. I'm here today as your pastor because of my dad. My first sermon, I prepared for a month and a half. I had 16 pages of type notes. I don't have them, and people know me. No, I keep everything of any importance. I hang on to it like it's great. But I shredded that thing up, and I throwed it away, and I promised myself what I told the preacher going out the back door. I ain't never going to do this again. Because in 4 minutes, I'd read everything on them 16 pages, some of it twice. I gave an 8-minute altar call and left. I didn't know till a few days later that 2 or 3 people got saved that night. But the next morning, I'm in the barn. My dad, a backslid preacher, walks in and he said, "I heard you last night, son." You got to understand something. All my life, my dad never came to see me play a ball game. never watched me run track, never saw me do anything, because he didn't care about that, and he didn't care if I was playing. As long as I didn't get hurt and come bother him, he was happy. He wasn't in that building that night, but he was standing outside listening to me. And he said, all I could tell you, son, is you're doing what God called you to do. He said, before last night, I would have never told you God called you to preach. But you took the first step for the rest of your life, because the day you were born, God said you would take my place. Needless to say, on his admonition, I kept preaching. I kept following God's will in my life. I eventually won my dad back to the Lord. And I'll never forget his prayer when he said, God, I don't need another life. I've wasted this one. But if you'll give me a year and a half to get my family back in church, tell them I was wrong, I'll give my heart to you. My dad lived exactly 18 months after he got out of the hospital, but he talked to every one of my brothers and sisters about getting into church, talking to God, and giving their hearts to him. I want to tell you something, Dads. It's up to us. Isaiah 6, and the voice spoke, and the pillars moved. According to Scripture, the pillar of the family is the dad. There's where revival's going to come. The voice of God speaks. The dads will finally move. And the glory of God will fill the house. Stand with me if you will. Father in heaven, I thank you today, God, for your love. Touch us today, God, with your glory. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.